to the Healing Grief Podcast with Catherine Churchill, and regularly joined by a variety of different guests, all helping you travel through your journey of grief.
Hi everyone, it's Catherine Churchill, and I'm here today with a very special guest, Miss Lorna Hines. So Lorna is a psychotherapist and intuitive, and she is here today to talk about some tools from a psychological perspective that people can use for grief. So Lorna has had a career in mental health for over 49 years, even receiving the New Jersey Mental Health Association's prestigious Community Leadership Award, and has been described as a visionary. Lorna currently consults in a busy private psychotherapy practice. So welcome to the show, Lorna.
Thank you so much, Catherine, and thank you for your kind attention and for selecting me, as well as the kind attention that your listeners are offering.
Thank you. So Lorna and I have known each other for a very long time. And I call her my New Jersey mom. So, so I think today, Lorna, as I said, I guess, we are going to talk about some tools from a psychological mental health point of view that people can deal with if they're going through grief. And I guess for me, I feel that people don't necessarily go through grief in the way that it's described. So I know that there's many stages of grief that people can go through, but from what I've seen in grieving people, it doesn't really work like that. So can you share some of your experiences with that through, you know, your own patients that you work with, or even from your own experiences?
Absolutely, Catherine. And I do agree with you that there are contextual issues regarding grief. And there's a continuum in terms of grief and loss that we have to look at in terms of the specific person, their perhaps personality constructs or personality characteristics. We have to look at their ethnic and cultural patterns and the extent to which those that ethnicity or the cultural patterns prescribe the way in which people should grieve. We have to look at also the circumstances of the loss. And here again, we're talking about the of a person as opposed to loss of things, because certainly there can be a grieving process involved when people have lost their homes or lost their car, because you know that that was their major form of transportation for their jobs, or they've lost a great deal of money, such as those people that invested with the gentleman here in New York, and they lost thousands and thousands of their retirement money. So there's lots of different ways of looking at grief, but I think for our audience and the purpose of today's podcast, you want to focus on grief as it relates to the loss of person or persons. Is that correct?
Right. I do. Well, I mean, we have, I guess, there's many of my listeners are probably going through different types of grief. And as you say, you know, there's all different types of grief. There's grief over losing pets. There's grief over losing a friend, over losing a job. So grief definitely comes in many forms. So whatever you can give your knowledge on, that would be wonderful. So
actually, it's interesting that you mention about loss of things and loss of pets, because for some people, in a very individualized and specific way, that loss can mirror loss that's associated with loss of a close friend or a relative or something like that. It can feel very similar. Just to give you a personal example, if you don't mind, not too long ago, I discovered some money that I was saving for our family to go on vacation had been taken by someone. And it's interesting. Some would say, well, what's the big deal? You could, but it really was something that I was working hard towards saving so that our family could enjoy a very nice vacation. Now, I will tell you some, and I'm going to underline some of the feelings that I experienced with loss of that great deal of money was to other losses that I had in my life. And I think that that's important for us understanding the context of grief, because oftentimes what may happen is that the loss, whatever loss it is that you're experiencing, may bring up previous losses that you've had that for whatever reason haven't fully been processed or fully worked on, or you didn't have the opportunity to really work through the process of grieving. So the old stuff comes up, as well as other feelings. In my circumstance, I felt a lot of powerlessness. I felt a sense of, I don't know what I'm going to do next in that situation. But again, in talking about it from the point of view of losing persons or a relative, I had the unfortunate experience of multiple losses at one time. And that was back in 2016. And I know you're aware that I had my loss of my mother. I had lost two of her sisters, a number of friends, and ultimately my niece, who was just 30 years old, killed in a horrific car accident. And you see, I'm still getting a little upset talking mm-hmm. about it.
I remember.
Yes, in the car accident, leaving her twin boys and her husband. And that was the final one. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you, it's interesting. The first death, the death of my mother, I was somewhat prepared for because she had a lengthy illness, but I was still very much in sadness and despair. But by the time the eighth death occurred of my niece, I felt my feelings kind of froze. Very interesting. I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel frustrated. I was in a space of numbness, which was very different when I had previously lost my sister, who was 8 years younger than me, when I felt angry. I felt angry. I felt like I could punch something or I could punch somebody. Versus loss of my father, who also had a lengthy illness, I felt sadness and despair. So I think that what we must understand, or allow ourselves understand, that grieving is a natural process. I think there's a tendency in our culture to pathologize it or look for quick and easy ways to fix it. You know, let's get a pill, let's get a drink, let's get a drug, let's get something to make ourselves feel better. And mind you, I'm not putting forward the idea that we should suffer or that there is something wonderful about suffering. But I do feel as though it's important for us to acknowledge that if we loved hard, and we love the person or the animal or whatever, that it's expected that we're going to grieve hard. And that we need to allow ourselves a wide continuum of ways to express that grief and not to shut it down, but to allow it to open up and for the support network around the person that is grieving is there to support and be with the person, not necessarily to shut it down.
Right. I actually read a quote a few days ago, and it was that we grieve as deeply as we love. So I thought it was also interesting how you were talking about how when we do lose someone, that it can bring up things from our past or things about people who we've lost in the past. So I guess the trauma of things is always there. So, I mean, how would you go about, you know, healing? I know that I don't think you can heal grief. But how would a person grieving go about getting some healing where it's not going to leave that trauma, where they just keep re-experiencing it over and over?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to focus in on it. First of all, I think the people around the grieving person need to be aware of what their needs are in terms of where they are in the grieving process. Now, for many people and cultures, you know, there's a funeral process. So that aspect may be very different for different groups. You know, Jewish people, for example, they sit in Shiva, and they have people come over, and the funeral is fairly quickly done. But the other groups may do it in a week or so, and so there's a different process or a different procedure in terms of the funeral process, which affects, I feel, the extent to which the grief or the grieving process takes place. So I think number one, prior to the funeral, people around the grieving person need to be sensitive to their needs and to what is helpful. Some of the things that were not particularly helpful to me when I was going through the loss of my mom were people saying like, well, she was very old and you had a lot of years with her, you know, or she's not suffering anymore and aren't you glad about that? I think that oftentimes people get confused about their own needs regarding the loss versus what is helpful to the person that is grieving. And so I think people need to be aware that their role, if they are going to help the grieving person, is to be with them, whatever that means. That might mean, Catherine, for example, did you have some food today? Can I go get you some coffee or sandwich? Or would you like me to just sit with you and be with you? So I think the people around the grieving person have to be attentive. And then sometimes, even during the funeral proceedings, whatever they are, you again, the people around you just need to be there to support you, not to cast dispersions or, oh, gee, so-and-so from the family was there and didn't she look horrible? And again, they're coming from a place of their own needs.
Right.
This is a time where people who are grieving need empathy. They need support. I know, for example, in my own experience, when the funeral was about to begin for my mom, I almost fainted. And my cousin was there. I didn't even realize it, just to give me an arm so I didn't fall completely to the floor. And that's the kind of thing that people who are grieving mm-hmm. need. And then post, you know, after it's all over, this may be the time that people really begin to feel the enormity of the loss. and yet they may have to clean out the mother's apartment or throw away the father's clothes or figure out what to do with a pet that is left. Mm-hmm. So again, support is needed. A lot of support, a lot of hands-on support where the person who is supporting the grieving person is coming from a place of, I'm here to support you. I'm not here to do my own thing and to be in touch with my own feelings and thoughts about the situation.
That's very, very true. I think so many people say the wrong thing to grieving people. And, you know, I knew your mom for quite a long time. And when she passed, I remember, because I couldn't be there for you, I remember I sent you some flowers. And I remember because I knew how close you were to her. And I think I felt at the time I didn't want to, not that I didn't want to talk to you, but that I didn't know what to say. And I remember thinking that at the time. So I'd sent you flowers instead. And I think if I had been there, maybe it would have been a little bit different, but I felt like I didn't know, I guess, what to say to you. And, you know, not that I would have said she was old, so, or anything like that. But I do feel like a lot of people struggle with knowing what to say. And the other thing is I notice people, when people lose someone, everybody, they rally around them at the beginning and then say, you know, weeks or months down the track, pretty much everyone disappears from their lives. And I notice this with most people that grieve, even family members of mine, it's happened to friends of mine, it's happened to. So people tend to separate themselves sometime after the loss, almost as if they don't want to continue carrying that burden themselves, so they just leave it with the grieving person. So there's that side to it too. But so I guess, you know, you're saying that obviously one of the things is the people around the grieving person needs to be of support to them so that proper healing can happen. I guess what about for people, just quickly, because, you know, we are running out of time, but for people that, I guess, you know, maybe they are left on their own, what do they do? Like, is there things that they can do? How can they channel that grief or energy into something?
Okay. Just one thing before I answer that question. And that is to say that when you are making the decision to support the person that is grieving, perhaps it might be helpful for you to turn inward and ask yourself, what is the extent of support that I may offer? So it's clear that you have some boundaries, and you are aware of the extent to which you want to be involved.
Right.
And even if you can't figure out what you might say, if you just say to the person, may I stand with you? Because someone said, it's so interesting, when I lost my sister, and it's unfortunate, I've had two numerous losses to share, I think. When you think about it, I even have to go to mm-hmm. a funeral next week. I lost an uncle. But someone that I didn't even know very well, when he heard about the story of the loss of my sister, he said to me, I don't know what to say to you or even how to say, but may I just stand here with you and be with you?
Mm-hmm.
And that was so, you see, I even remember it from 1994 till now, but that was something very meaningful. So do consider that, number one, you figure out what kind of support you want to offer and what is the boundaries around that support. And if you don't know what to say, that you just say, can I stand here with you or can I be with you and just support you in any way that you need? I think that that's very helpful.
It is.
For the person to hear.
Mm, I think so.
Whatever phase of grief that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for your second question regarding what can people do with their healing? Everybody is gone, as you said, and here I am trying to figure mm-hmm. out how and what I can and feel and what I can deal with. Number one, I would say social relationships are key, whatever that means for the person. Whether that means other family members, but sometimes they're going through their grief and their grieving process and they can't offer you support. It may be that you need to think about consulting a bereavement counselor or a grief specialist, which is a person that specializes in helping people to handle their grief. I was very fortunate. I had to consult a grief counselor that was part of the palliative care team that worked with my mom at her endings. And this woman really validated the different feelings I had, especially after the loss of my niece when I said I felt frozen. So I had one-to-one work with her over the telephone because it just was very convenient. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that, you know, energy is something that can be communicated on the telephone or on a podcast such as this or through Zoom or Skype or whatever. And we need to use these technologies in order to obtain the kind of help that would be beneficial to us going through the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, many agencies host what they call bereavement groups. And what's helpful about bereavement groups is we begin to join a community around a particular theme of loss, whether it is a loss of a close loved one or a friend or a family, or in many cases in children, loss of children. And there are bereavement groups that are available for people to join. If you live in an area and you don't know where these groups are hosted, you might check with your local hospital. Many hospitals hold these groups, and it's kind of cyclical, where they will have 7 or 8 sessions and then they start again. Also, there's an organization called Helping Parents Heal that I was just made a part of, and they offer bereavement and counseling services for people mm-hmm. that have lost children. So I think that there are lots of different opportunities. We don't want to forget spiritual healing
mm-hmm.
Because many people can benefit from spiritual healing. I myself was very much helped by trance healing that I mm-hmm. received. And it's interesting. I got immediate relief from this feeling of being frozen.
Mm-hmm.
I got immediate relief and I was able to cry and I was able to emote and let all of my feelings out. I think we have to look at what is out there and what's going to make sense for us. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of us where the sadness and despair goes on and on and on, perhaps 6, 7, 8 months, even to a year, we may want to consult with more professional type of resources because there may be a need for other types of intervention for that individual.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess knowing that not every way of healing is right for you, so you have to find what works for you, whether that is spiritual healing, whether that is counseling, you know, a psychotherapist, group therapy, even I guess you can look at you know, working with creative ways. There's actually a lady that's going to be on this podcast soon who dealt with a lot of her grief through creativity and creating things to help other grieving parents, like, you know, making little gifts and, you know, she runs a gift store and things like that. So there's all different ways, I guess, that we can heal, and there's not one way that's, you know, right for everyone. Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about today, Lorna?
Well, your latter point is well taken. And I think it depends also where the person is in their healing process, because some people are not quite there yet, and maybe they'll never get there. But the idea that we can do something in the honor or to inspire the legacy that person has left, I think is a wonderful, wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. Isabel Allende is a very famous author who lost her daughter at an early age. She was devastated by that loss, and she tells her story in a book called This I Believe. It's a very short piece. And what she captured in that story is that she was able to continue her daughter's legacy and find help with her grief by helping others and serving others. This is the way that she found in terms of not easing her grief, but processing her grief and living with her grief, helping others. And I think that people, part of my ending message, I know we have to stop shortly, but part of my ending message is in some way how I began, that there is a context to people's grief, and that we have to understand that grieving is a natural process that all human beings and even some animals go through when there's a loss. And we have to respect and honor wherever we are in the grieving process. And if it gets to the point where, in spite of having our social relationships, where we can share our feelings and try to get help, if we find that it doesn't work, that we need to look at different opportunities that will be available to us, including everything, as you say, from the creative arts. You know, we may need to dance our grief away or process our grief. We may need to take up running or exercise to process our grief. We may need to go for individual work with a grief counselor. We may need to go to group. We may need to do all of it, but we must allow ourselves the healing interventions that will help ease our pain.
Wow. That was very, very enlightening, Lorna. So thank you so much for joining this podcast today. And Lorna, you have a new book coming out. It's in the process. So people can find out about Lorna's work at lornajhines.com. That's correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. I was going to say .net, but it's .com, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So people can find out about Lorna's work at lornajhines.com. And Lorna has a lot of services listed there for people who are grieving. And so check it out. So thanks again, Lorna, for joining us today. Thanks, everyone.